Welcome, everybody. Thank you all for coming, all the parents who enroll your children into our Sunday school. Thank you to all the grandparents, families, and friends who have come to watch and to support us. Just a heads up, all the parents of the 3 and 4 year olds, you will be asked at some point to come pick up your kids and have them join you in the congregation. All right, guys. I could have picked a few Bible verses. I found Psalms 95 verses 1 and 2 feels right to me. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before our presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. It's with songs. So Pete already said that in the Sunday school. It was perfect timing. Now, I want you to think of the apostles and how they went out into the world, boldly spreading the news of Jesus. Remember this when you sing your songs and say your verses. You're at home here with family and friends. You can sing loud and clear for the Lord. Everyone behind me is here to support you guys. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful spring weather that we have this weekend. Thank you for the freedom that we have to openly serve you in this country. Thank you that you sent your son and that he willingly took on the punishment for our sins. God, I ask that you please steady the nerves and give the kids courage as they do their parts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The Easter story. The Easter account is from the Bible and tells of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is a story that changes our lives because it is the account of God's powerful love for us and the sacrifice that he made.
We celebrate Jesus' resurrection on Easter Sunday, but there would be no resurrection without the suffering, death on the cross, and burial in a borrowed tomb.
Let's examine each day of Passion Week to remember the trials and sufferings of Jesus. It's important to remember that it's not a haphazard series of events that randomly unfolded. Rather, as Isaiah prophesied long before Jesus was born, this was the internal plan of God to redeem his creation. Isaiah 53, verse 3 to 5. He is despised and rejected a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it was our faces from him. He was despised, yet we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him, stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted.
But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
Sorrows and love God, I word tells us that on Palm Sunday, Jesus triumphantly entered Jerusalem on a donkey, being hailed as king. Throngs of people threw their cloaks on the ground before him, waved palm branches in the air, and cried out, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest."
As Jesus rode into Jerusalem, the crowds rejoiced. They saw Jesus as a king who would save them from the oppression of the Roman ruler. However, Jesus came not to save them from Rome, but from their sins. The work God seeks to do in our lives is far bigger than any momentary sufferings or daily struggles. Jesus has come to free us from the bonds of sin, to give us new life, and to bring us into the family of God for all eternity.
Father's love.
On Monday of Passion Week, Jesus visited the temple and found it overrun with buying and selling. The temple was to be the place of sacrifice, prayer, and revelation, where God's priests would make intercession for God's people. But this is not what Jesus found. And so Jesus, prior to his great sacrifice, became angry, overturned the money changers' tables, and said, "It is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have turned it into a den of thieves." Matthew 21, verse 13.
Jesus is passionate about us worshiping God with purity of heart. When asked what all of God's commandments was the greatest, Jesus responded, "Thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." Matthew 22, verse 37.
The parents of the 3 and 4-year-olds, if you could please come pick up your kids and bring them into the congregation. Thank you.
On Tuesday, the religious leaders of Israel questioned the authority of Jesus. In every possible way, Jesus had disrupted the corrupt religious establishment of his day. This angered the religious leaders. Who did this Jesus think he was? And so the leaders conspired to trap Jesus, that confronted him and demanded to know, by what authority dost thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? Matthew 21, verse 23.
The authority of Jesus is an important question. Who is he? What right does he have to rule? Why should we listen to him above all others? Jesus is the Son of God. His authority is ultimate.
We must either submit to him as Lord of our lives, or else we are at indefinite resistance of one who came to save us.
On Wednesday, Judas Iscariot, one of Jesus' 12 disciples, went to the leading priest to betray Jesus. John 12 tells us that Judas was in charge of the disciples' money and would steal from the money bag.
This greed led Judas to ask a terrible question of the priest. How much would you pay me to betray Jesus to you? The priest offered him 30 pieces of silver, and he began looking for his moment of betrayal.
It is easy to think at Judas and condense him, but truth
truth not told, all people... It is easy to look at Judas and condemn him, but truth be told, all people sin and are in need of forgiveness. It is important to remember that Peter also denied Jesus 3 times. The key is to not let our failures define us. Instead, we should repent of sins and receive the forgiveness that God so graciously offers.
Ask that you guys join us in a congregational song. Sure. Can everybody please stand? Get on your feet for a little bit.
Let's go. On Thursday, Jesus shared a final Passover meal with his disciples and instructed them to eat bread and drink wine in remembrance of him.
This became the foundation of what Christians call communion.
After sharing a meal, Jesus and his disciples went to Gethsemane, a garden that sits at the base of the Mount of Olives.
That night, he wrestled with his impending death and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done."
Surrendering to his Father's will, Jesus returned to his disciples, where Judas betrayed him with a kiss.
The King of Kings came as a suffering servant. It's almost too much to understand. The Savior would wash his disciples' feet and die a criminal's death, not because he had to, but because he chose to.
As we seek to become like Jesus, we must follow his example of humility. As he said, "But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant."
And whoever shall said, himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Mark 23:11.
Thank you.
Jesus was put on trial before the high priest that night. Then he was taken to Pilate and accused of being a criminal. Pilate questioned Jesus, but couldn't find any reason why Jesus should be put to death. The Jews acknowledged that the real reason they wanted Jesus to be crucified was because he claimed to be the Son of God, and they were accusing him of blasphemy. Pilate gave in to their demands. He had Jesus whipped and a crown of thorns placed on his head, and gave him over to be crucified. They led Jesus away to a place called Golgotha, where he was nailed to a cross. There were two others crucified with him, one on either side, with Jesus between them. Pilate had a sign posted over Jesus that read, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." Jesus suffered immensely on the cross, and he spoke these words.
For the Roman soldiers who nailed him to the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. To the penitent thief, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. To his grief-stricken mother, woman, behold thy son. To his disciple, John, behold thy mother. To God, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Jesus said, "I thirst," and he was given vinegar from a sponge. Jesus cried, "It is finished." Lastly, Jesus said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Then he bowed his head and died. Joseph, a secret disciple of Jesus, got permission to take his body from the cross. He and Nicodemus wrapped Jesus' body and laid it in a new tomb never used before.
The crucifixion of Jesus is beyond comprehension. We can never rejoice enough that God would come in human flesh and humble himself to the point of death. Because of this, Jesus is deserving of all our praise and worship. Philippians 2, verse 9 to 11 tells us, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of the things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father."
On the cross of Calvary.
between my fingertips. I've hidden in the garden. I've denied you with my very lips. God, I fall down to my knees with a hammer in my hand. You look at me, arms open. Wish I hadn't done. I've seen things I wish I hadn't seen. Just the thought of your amazing grace, and I cry, Jesus, forgive me. God, I fall down to my knees with a hammer in my hand. You look arms open, forgiven, forgiven. Child, there is freedom from all of it. Say goodbye to every sin, you are forgiven. I could have been 6 feet under. I could have been lost forever. Yeah, I should be in that fire. But now there's fire inside of me. Here I am, a dead man walking. No grave can hold God's people. All the weight of all our evil lifted away, forever free. Who could believe? Who could believe? Forgiven. Forgiven. Love me even when I don't deserve it. Forgiven, I'm forgiven. Jesus, your blood makes me innocent. So I will say goodbye to every sin. I am forgiven. I am forgiven.
The promised Messiah is dead, his body lying in a tomb, sealed shut with a giant stone. On this day, the chief priests and Pharisees asked Pilate to place guards outside the tomb to make sure Jesus' body wasn't stolen.
Saturday was a day of tension and sorrow. Will God come through on his promise? Has evil won? Was all our hope in vain? In many ways, these are the questions we ask in our walk with Christ. Ultimately, in the waiting of Saturday, we are called to place our faith in the coming miracle, the resurrection of Jesus.
don't have what it takes. 'Cause it's all you can do just to move, much less finish the race. But don't forget what lies ahead. Almost home, brother, it won't be long. Soon all your burdens will be gone. With all your strength, sister, run wild, run free. Hold up your head. This road will be hard, but we win in the end. Simply because of Jesus in us, it's not if, but when. So take joy in the journey, even when it feels long. Oh, find strength in each step, knowing heaven is cheering you. There's still more to come when our flesh and our bone are no longer between what we are right now and where we're meant to be. When all's been lost is made whole again. These tears and this pain no longer exist. No more walking, we're running as fast as we can. Consider this our second wind. Almost home, brother.
Early Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene, along with the other women, came to see the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. Mary ran to tell the disciples. Two angels told the women that Jesus was not there, that he had risen from the dead.
The resurrection of Christ is the single greatest event in all of history. It is the day that God forever broke the power of sin and death. Through Christ's great sacrifice, evil was conquered and redemption was made available to all who believe.
Romans 5, verse 8, but God commandeth his love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Romans 6, verse 28. For the wages of sin is death, but through the gift of God is eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
After Jesus rose from the dead, he presented himself alive to the woman near the tomb, to his disciples, and to more than 500 others. In the days following his resurrection, Jesus taught his disciples about the kingdom of God.
40 days after his resurrection, Jesus and his disciples went to Mount Olivet near Jerusalem. There Jesus promised his followers that they would soon receive the Holy Spirit, and he instructed them to remain in Jerusalem until the Spirit had come.
Then Jesus blessed them, and as he gave the blessing, he began to ascend into heaven. Two angels appeared and said, "The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
This time I'd like to call up Henry Barch to say a few things. And then after Henry is done with his closing, I just ask that you all remain seated until all the students and teachers are out of the sanctuary. Thank you.
Wow. Job well done. You guys have amazing volume. And you guys did an amazing job at telling the Easter story. I think it's very well deserving that you give them a good hand of applause for a good job. I don't know how those girls did it, standing up here, singing those special numbers. It takes a lot of nerve, and you guys did a really good job. Very good job. Thank you for that. Now I would just like to share a few verses out of Scripture. This is for all of us. There's three crosses. And before I get to that, I'll just read a few verses in Luke chapter 23, verse 40 to 43. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And I've often wondered, why is it only three crosses? Wouldn't one have been suffice? Wouldn't two have been enough? Or maybe even four? But no, there was only three. And there's that one, he mocks Jesus, kind of talks bad to him, disrespectful. And then there's that other guy. He rebukes him. He says, "Don't you know him? Don't you know he's done nothing wrong?" And all he asks, he doesn't ask much. He doesn't confess much. He doesn't say all the things that he's done wrong in his life that he needs forgiveness for. The testimony isn't very long. It's very short. He just asks Jesus to remember him. That's it. And to think of, if we were to give our list of things that we've done wrong, to give our testimony of our life, of all the things that we've done wrong, it could be a long list. But he doesn't. And Jesus doesn't even ask for it. Because Jesus knew. Jesus knew what the one on one side had done, and he also knew what the other guy on the other side had done, that it was mocking him. And all he says is, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." So one of them mocks him, and the other one talks to him. The last minute of his life, he talks to Jesus. He has a conversation, he has communication with Jesus in the last minutes. So one of them goes up with Jesus. And where did the other one go? One of them confessed, one of them repented, and the other one didn't. So that's, I think, why there was three crosses. And to all the Sunday school teachers, I just want to thank you for everything you do every Sunday morning, teaching these children, teaching them the gospel, and bringing them to the salvation. Thank you very much. Thank you for all the program committee, everybody who's been involved to put this together. Thank you very much, and God bless.